Cool. So, all right, 3, 2, 1. We're starting the podcast.
Hooray!
Hooray! Welcome everyone to another fun-filled episode of Defend Your Ship, where you people come and talk to us about what big nerds they are, and we love them for it and make them feel accepted, and then everyone goes home happy.
That's very wholesome.
I mean,
I think we are.
I enjoy your show. I've really liked Defend Your Ship. It's one of the highlights of the new discoveries of, living inside, needing to listen to compatriots, all
Oh,
that
yes.
jazz.
It's always nice when guests actually like our show.
Yes, you guys have led me to a lot. Oh, actually, Stevie, I've meant to say, because of you, I now have my new favorite expression, which is yikes on bikes.
Yikes on bikes. I think that I actually learned that from, I will give credit to Raina for that. And you know what, Raina, that's probably also something we should make into a t-shirt to accompany our
Please.
new t-shirt. Let me plug our merch for a second. We've got merch
We
now,
have a
people.
Redbubble.
We have a Redbubble, Defend Your Ship on Redbubble, and we have a shirt in there that says "Not My Kink, but Here for the Discourse," designed by yours truly, me. I did it. I designed it.
I think it would also be funny to have something that says "Get wrecked" on it.
Oh yeah, we're gonna need that. Our Henry, welcome to the show where our slogan is "Get wrecked." Hopefully today you will get wrecked in a good way.
Always, I don't know. My own podcast that came from a monster movie. Everybody is like, I had my buddy on. He did one of our Patreon episodes, and shameless plug, if you want to support my podcast and you go on Patreon and you subscribe at any tier, the $1, $3, $5, $10 tier, you get your own It Came From a Monster Movie episode where you pick the movie, or if you don't know the genre, you give me a theme and I'll pick the movie, give
Ooh.
you a choice. And then we get to do your own episode, and it's really funny because he had a buddy of his. We did Clash of the Titans. And he
The
had his
old
buddy,
one or the new one?
the old one that had a surprisingly more amount of nipples than I imagined it was going to have, to the point where the entire episode is mostly me freaking out that the Kraken has nipples. Because that means that the Kraken is a mammal, I guess. I don't know. It really upset me. But it was really awful because his friend's a huge fan of the original. And he was like, just letting you know, Henry's podcast, while it is a very nerdy monster themed podcast, Henry is not afraid to hold his punches and get very critical on timeless classics. So beware. And his buddy was like, oh, Clash of the Titans is my favorite. And I was like, literally, like, were there so many nipples in this movie? I was really excited to relive this nostalgia, but this was like a poorly run D&D campaign based off Greek fantasy, and I have problems. And it was tough.
I feel like you could say that, well, like no offense to D&D, but I feel you could say that about a lot of D&D campaigns.
Oh no, the awful thing about playing Dungeons and Dragons and then doing a film podcast is you realize that most movies are just D&D campaigns.
Yeah, we're
And
just
like you can
like
literally get a roll thing of dice and just roll every time something happens in the movie to see, oh look, that was a nat 20. Awesome. Or that was a one.
Right, that,
Perfect.
and you
Makes
roll for the
total sense.
number, just roll for the number of nipples, and if you get a nat one, you have to put a zillion nipples on your Kraken.
It's so upsetting. Like I'm still editing that episode, and I'm just like, I'm really bugged out by nipples in this movie, man or beast.
The
So
implications, I mean, the nipples themselves have committed no crime. They're just suggesting that there may be uncomfortable truths about the world that we're not ready to delve into, and neither are the
but I mean, this might be too much information, but I got so fascinated because I have innies. So seeing
filmmakers.
outies out in on a Kraken just was added more complexity than I expected to have.
That is too much complexity. Episode. Yeah, because they had to make a choice, right? Like, the designers of that had to obviously make this a conscious choice. Do you think they had to discuss it?
Right? I love Ray Harryhausen. Like, his work is great. But I, like, for all this time, I was like, wait, when did the Kraken have nipples? And then I'm, like, looking through pictures, and I'm like, holy shit, the Kraken has nipples! And they're outies!
I'm just so desperate to hear that conversation between the designers being like, do you think they should be innies? Like, what's the case for outies? Do you think they should go out?
Oh, it's awful.
Wasn't this also like claymation or like stop motion?
So the nipples were lovingly sculpted, handcrafted, tweaked little nipples?
Yep.
What a wholesome podcast we run here.
Gonna get even more exciting.
I am so excited. You've catapulted into us into our usual initial segment, which is what nerdy stuff are you into today? So I think.
Oh, another thing.
You've got something else? Go for it.
I got something else. Another big compliment to you guys. I'm too waking up from a nap to actually look up the episode title, but. When you guys went into your tirade about Twilight, Twilight, and you know, Stevie, it's one of those things where I'm really happy I know you, but like sometimes I feel like us sharing each other's podcasts gives us too much information too quickly.
Too much information, but yes. It's quite like, especially if you listen to my views on Twilight and Omegaverse, especially in the same episode.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That'll just... It was a lot of Googling.
Literally, woof.
lot of a Google. But what was really fun, I was like, it's done. Season 3, it came from a monster movie. Our vampire episode holiday special and our werewolf holiday special will be Twilight and Twilight Eclipse.
My God.
And I hope that you guys have the time to be on part of that.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get great into those films.
I am so dedicated to being involved with this. This is going to be my life now. This is my brain. I hope you're on board for this ride.
I like how Raina's like, I guess Henry's a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be for talking about Godzilla. So,
oh God, Raina, we've broken you. It's too much fun. You can't handle it. The fun.
If you want, ask me questions and I'll just make it sad and disappointing.
It's just that I feel like every episode we've done recently has devolved into something about ABO.
Listen, it's a hot topic right now. It was in the New York Times.
So much Googling. I was driving, I was cleaning my car, and I'm like, I like to think that I'm on the up and up with terminology, but what the fuck is this? Oh, I get it now. All right.
We should make a guide. We should do the Defend Your Ship guide to ABO. We should make that.
Oh, God.
People
a
need
whole episode.
Yeah.
Give example.
I am going to be inebriated for this.
I think as well we should be a drinking game. The episode itself should be a drinking game for us, the host. Every time you mention assholes, you take a drink, and by the end you're dead.
Oh, you're gonna, yes, you guys are gonna be drunk by the end of this, because if we're gonna talk about assholes, like, again,
the Godzilla fandom? No, you know what?
Literally fucking awful.
It is fucking awful.
Well, before we dive into the fucking awful, Raina, what's your nerdy thing that you're into today?
What am I not into? So a thing that hasn't happened yet, but as of this recording is happening in 48 hours, the new Inuyasha series is happening.
Oh my god, that's happening.
Raina, now you've reminded me that technically Inuyasha will work for my show as well.
Fuck.
Because it's a mind study with wolf demon.
I forgot.
I think Stevie knows this, but I used to be a huge Inuyasha fan when I was like 14, because I was like,
wow,
the perfect age.
Oh, listen,
when that shit came out on Adult Swim.
This is my surprised face.
Oh, wait for this surprise phase. Oh, no, by all means, let me not upstage you.
And so I kind of, like, let's be honest, I gave up. Like, I was, like, deep in, like, I think I was on, like, volume 30-something and, like, halfway through the anime, and I was just like, nah, it's too long. Like, I gave up. Like, Ranma Half was only 33 volumes. I don't want this anymore. And so, like, I kind of forgot about Inuyasha for a very, very long time. And then earlier this year, they announced the sequel, and Reina's brain went back in time almost a decade and a half. And so I've been looking up, I went to Media Miner for the first time in like a decade or so, which, if you don't know what that is like one of those old school fanfic archives where like they have 10,000 Inuyasha fans.
Oh my god.
And it's all the old school shit, because like this was before the time of AO3, so they don't have like the fancy ass choose your ship, choose what you want to look at. It's literally like you choose your rating and if it's a crossover or not, and like maybe you get to mention a character that you're interested in, and then you just like comb through the archives. Like, you have to look for the good shit.
Brana, I ship and you. So I think I ship you with ancient fanfiction archives. Like, just you and the library of fanfiction in Alexandria.
Reina, I misheard you saying first, and I thought you totally said thirst time for any fanfictions, and I was just like, man, we've all been there.
Haven't we? Yes, not only did I finish Inuyasha, I finished it. I think I finished the manga and the anime, and I cosplayed Inuyasha.
Good to know. Yep. I every time you guys talk about fanfiction.com, it awakened old memories of my like, hi, I'm Henry, and I'm learning how to internet. And I remembered that because I used to be on DeviantArt. Working on my original Giant Monster Theory, right? And that's where actually the first time my little baby of a giant monster, original giant monster series, was brought into the world. And Stevie, we can talk about that maybe later when on a positive note. it reminded me that I used to run a thing called the DA DG Destined, which was a deviant. A collection of us artists who made our own Digimon OCs.
Wow.
To the point where I actually ran I used to run an RPG forum. And we did a whole story. And that's actually what got me on fanfictions.com.
That's
because
incredible.
I started to like chronicle the RPG story arc. It was a whole thing. Different Henrys, other characters. My Digimon partner was Dinktramon, because my nickname is Dink, and so he was a little green dragon thing that digivolved into a variety of dinosaur things, and it was just... I was like, oh yeah, I could also accredit that to my origin of writing, because I used to run a Digimon RPG forum.
I love that this sets up Digimon as some sort of gateway drug to larger monster fandom.
It is. It totally is. I in college, I had a person that I was somewhat seeing, and we got into a bit of a tiff because she kept saying, oh, Pokemon's better than Digimon. I was no, Digimon has like character development, and they discuss like really heavy themes. Like, this is how I learned about divorce and like all that kind of jazz, because season one's, you know, the season one tie-in, Kari's mom is a stay-at-home mom. Their dad is actually referenced in the original Japanese series, just my glasses, as a drunk, which is super fun. It's actually the reason why Tai is holding the door in the Digimon movie, because in the Japanese version, his dad is belligerently drunk trying to get into the kids' room.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, trauma. But, you know, and then Matt and TK, their parents are divorced. It's their first time seeing each other. Sora has parental issues because her dad's never home, and her mom is so strict and wanting her to live in the family business. Mimi's an only child and incredibly spoiled. Izzy, before going to the digital world, finds out he's adopted, and that's why he's in his computer all the time, because he's struggling with the fact that his parents are not his real parents. Joe has the pressure of becoming a doctor at his parents' wishes. And then I think that's the whole cast, but my friend was like, there's no way they're like that. I'm like, all right, let's watch season one. And it was like, hey, are you noticing all this character development? They're not the same characters. And like, you know, while the Pokemon games are great, Digimon best series. Also, Digimon Aplo Monsters, one of the newest series, totally hinted at the fact that the main protagonist was gay. And it made me very happy.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, and in the Digimon games, Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, you actually go on a date with probably the most non-binary character that you've ever seen in your life. And the whole time, I called my partner at the time. I'm like, I'm on a date. And it's like, a real one? I'm like, no, my character in the Digimon game. We're on a date, and I think we're going to do stuff. And then we ended up fighting a Digimon together. It was cute. I was so happy.
Oh, my God.
Digimon's surprisingly progressive.
All right, Digimon. All right. This is all, I feel very educated. This is all completely news to me.
It's great.
I was not allowed to partake in Digimon or Pokemon because both of them were little devil monsters from Satan in the eyes of the church. So it was not part of my childhood, but was part of my siblings' childhood, because by the time they were old enough to play, you know, some of the Satan had rubbed off. So just I missed out on that part of the zeitgeist.
Well, good thing, because there actually are the seven demon lord group in the Digimon series, all based off actual demons.
Oh my god, my mom was right!
Yep, there's a Lilithmon, Leviamon, Lucimon. Lucimon was the main antagonist in season 4. Belphamon, like...
Wow!
They go into all of it, but like, as well as there is the seven demon lords, there are actually like the four great angels, and they're all based off different, like, the cherub and, you know, the Seraphim and all that.
God,
like,
that's so
Digimon's extra. Really legit. It's
okay,
so,
Digimon.
Like, yeah. It's
it sounds legit. Like we might need to do a secondary episode just about Digimon.
Please let me do a secondary episode to talk about.
Speaking about secondary episodes. Speaking of secondary episodes, I'm not even going to get into what I'm into this week, because what I'm into this week is rewatching Riverdale, and I think I might be obsessed with this show. I have been like, anybody who will give me an ear, I've just been taking their ear and screaming in it, and I've been like, I think Riverdale might be a masterpiece, and it's freaking me out.
Wow.
I mean, so. I really need to watch it, because when I was teaching creative writing, all my students said it was some of their favorite writing, and I was like, I really need to sit down and watch it.
Yes, it's just, there's just something about it. It's like heightened in a way, and each character sort of speaks in their own mode of speaking that becomes more and more stylized as the series progresses. Like Cheryl Blossom in particular, her language is just so niche, but it's incredible comedy, because you don't think of Riverdale as being like, yeah, that's going to be a hilarious show, but you know what? I think it is. I think it wants to be. I think it's doing it on purpose. So lots of hot takes coming out of my brain on the Riverdale front. So we got to do an episode about that, Rana. Even if it's just me screaming for an hour.
I feel like...
I mean, when you think about the fact that Riverdale is basically like a modern day take on Twin Peaks, that does make sense, because Twin Peaks
based
is also
off the Archie comics.
It is, but Twin Peaks.
Well,
is certainly...
it's based off the Archie comics, but Riverdale itself is literally like a millennial take on.
It is
Twin Peaks.
Heavily influenced by Twin Peaks, and I think the creators have talked about that it was like on purpose. And you know what's really sick? I've never seen Twin Peaks, so I guess I got to do that so I can better understand Riverdale.
I mean, you can watch the first season, like. Just watch the
Honestly,
first season, and that's
I
all you
tried,
need.
And I couldn't get through it.
Well, I tried to show it.
Well, like that's the thing is that it's unintentionally funny. Like, it's not supposed to be funny, but because like they're making fun of like soap operas and like daytime TV, it's so like heightened that it's like comedic without trying.
I mean, I laugh because I tried to show it to one of my friends earlier this year. And I was like, no, Twin Peaks is like a great show. And we were watching it and that first episode. And it's like, this is an odd amount of drama for finding a dead body, which is like a very weird statement to say out loud when you're like, this is an odd amount of drama for finding this dead body.
Also the fact that like Laura Palmer did like more than any high school student like ever should in their life.
Right? Laura was busy.
Like she
wait till you meet the Riverdale kids.
She was
right.
She was prom queen, an A+ student. She like delivered meals on wheels, was a like counter girl at the local department store, and a sex worker.
It's like
this girl and had two boyfriends. When did this girl sleep? Except she didn't because she was on cocaine.
I was literally just about to say, well, wasn't she on cocaine? Isn't that why?
Yeah, no, you know, and thus began the arch TV trope of just like the perfect girl who has a million dark little secrets. This is why I like that Gravity Falls only took like the Red Room from said show. Great show.
Well,
man, I am really trying not to talk about the fucking shit show that is the Kepler family.
Now that we're all warmed up, I think it's about time to get into the meat of this episode, the big Godzilla meat of this episode. So, Henry, tell us, how did you get into fandom? What was your gateway drug, if not Digimon?
Actually, it's funny because Godzilla affirmed my love for Digimon, as one person said, oh, it's like Pokemon but with Godzilla battles. So it's like probably my love for Godzilla is actually kind of an adorable story. When I was living in Texas when I was probably about 6 years old, it was before we moved to South Carolina, my neighbor bought me a Treadmasters Godzilla figure. It was the first, because I liked dinosaurs at the time. Like this is when I started to talk. So I originally, like, my favorite animal of all time are elephants. And then with my whole weird upbringing that we'll just maybe discuss, I'm very open about it. But after being raised at the zoo and learned how to be a human being due to my extreme levels of autism, which is super fun. And I am so thankful to have the parents I have who just were like, this kid thinks he's an animal, but we need him to be a person. Let's just hire a zookeeper and train him because he thinks he's an elephant. But when I started to become more aware of the world around me, like I said, I loved elephants, and then I got an elephant book and it had the natural history of elephants. And then I learned about the woolly mammoths and all the really cool prehistoric elephants. And then I went to the Natural History Museum and I learned about dinosaurs. And since then, everything in my life, from like the way I eat to the way I've traveled to even when I found out that I was a queer pansexual cryptid, there's a wonderful Tumblr guide of the Pride dinosaurs that gives you a list of dinosaurs and their identifications. And it very helped me understand that I'm just a pachyrhinosaurus pansexual with a prosaurolophus polyamory relationship style. It was very helpful to my coming out experiences. But anyway, this neighbor got me a Godzilla figure. I didn't know what Godzilla was, but it came with a little comic, and I was so shocked to see that not only was this dinosaur-looking thing really badass, but it was also bigger than buildings, it breathed fire, and it was crazy. And I was obsessed with that figure, obsessed to the point where my mom actually had to hide it, because if it was around, I was, like, gone. Like, that thing became my world. And eventually she had to give it away to Goodwill, which was a huge battle because every time she tried to take it away, I like hid it in bushes. It was like,
oh my God.
I'm 7. I treat it like a drug. but eventually she won, and it made me sad because, one, it would be really cool to have that figure now as an adult. But then when we moved to South Carolina, I got to rent, we went to Blockbuster, and I was finally of age to rent a movie without parental permission. And I saw the cover for Godzilla 1985, which I would later learn would be the first in the Heisei era of Godzilla films, which are the films from the 84 to 95. And 85 is the English dub name for it. And I watched that. And apparently, when the movie was done, I bursted into my parents' room at like 9 at night in tears, just bawling my eyes out, crying and crying. And it took them about like 30 minutes to get me to calm down enough to talk. And they're just sitting here the whole time like, oh, he rented a monster movie and it scared him. Like, they were just like, oh, poor Henry. But then when I was finally able to talk, they're like, Henry, why are you crying? And I said, he didn't have to die. They were like, excuse me? And I was like, he didn't have to die. He was just very big and he didn't know what he was doing and he didn't mean anything mean by it. Because he's just so big, he didn't see anybody. Because like, I was horrified that Godzilla in that film was thrown into a volcano. Don't worry, he survives because, of course, Godzilla can swim in volcanoes sequel and the next films. But and I would say that's where it all began for my love for giant monsters, was me being emotionally upset and sympathetic for the monster. So
that is absolutely beautiful. So usually on this podcast, we would dive into shipping. And I do have to ask, are there ships in the Godzilla fandom?
There are, actually, especially because of the newest Godzilla film.
Oh?
Yes. So in the newest Godzilla film, they even make the reference of Mothra and Godzilla having a relationship.
How did Mothra and Godzilla have a relationship? What'd that look like?
Well, it was really cute.
Oh, real? Okay, good.
Like, you know, when King Ghidorah and Mothra and Godzilla are all fighting, like, Godzilla's knocked out and Mothra climbs on top of him and, like, comforts him a little bit and then protects him from King Ghidorah, and it's super cool. But like, it was really funny because I watched it with my mom recently, and my mom had the best review for Godzilla King of the Monsters, which was, I don't understand 75% of this movie. This film is oddly 2020-esque with how they handle the environment and COVID. And since when were Godzilla and Mothra dating? And I just was like, this is the best review of all time, because a lot of people were like, I mean, Godzilla and Mothra have always been friends, but like in this movie, they really like kind of lay on that they're the king and queen for a reason. But there is like, you know, there is Godzilla Rule 34, which I don't really advise. That was a friend of mine sent me that. And I was like, I didn't need to see this, but rad.
That's definitely something a friend would do, but also something that not your friend would do.
Yes. but like, yeah, there is a level of shipping in the films. There's actually, especially in the new anime, I keep saying new, it's been out for a few years now, but the Godzilla trilogy on Netflix, which is a very well done anime if you like hard sci-fi, because Toho pretty much told the directors, don't make a giant monster movie. So it's pretty much like Attack on Titan in space in the future with Godzilla in the background.
What?
And it's actually very well done. But the third film actually had, for the first time ever, a sex scene in the Godzilla series with the main...
Was Godzilla
no,
in it?
It was the main antagonist and one of the Mothra fairies. Which was
okay,
really wild.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, it's actually like a really well done series, and it probably has one of my favorite interpretations of King Ghidorah of all time. But because like they eventually get into a religious cult, it's 10 in 10 would recommend the Godzilla anime trilogy. But don't tell Godzilla fans this, because Godzilla fans are picky as shit. But yes, there is. Long story short, there is levels of shipping in this film. In fact, my friends who run the podcast, Kaiju Apostle, one of the co-hosts, actually does talk about the different types of monster shipping that he has done in his journey through watching the old Godzilla films.
Amazing. So do you have a preferred ship? Is it Godzilla and Mothra, or is there something else that's like the key to your like deep love of this?
Well, I will definitely admit on this podcast, because I feel like it's a safe space.
Oh, for sure.
The anime Everyday Life of Monster Girls definitely made me realize that, one, it did give me the big questions of, like, you know what? When we go out into the world and meet other species, like, it's going to be a whole other ballpark. And I was, like, seriously thinking, I'm like, huh, yeah, I probably, that, yeah. I think, like, I started to realize, like, oh, I think I am attracted to some of these characters in the way they do, because I'm pansexual, so I am more into your personality than your bits. So, cool. And then also, I was like, and this is probably why I like harem anime, because I'm all about multiple relationships due to my polyamory nature. And then I also realized that it just affirmed that I fucking hate horses and I would never date a centaur. I just... Never. Never, no, ever.
I think you gotta draw the line somewhere, and I respect that line.
I was thoroughly shocked, because I was like, I just don't really like the centaur. Not for personality and the fact that she's a horse.
I have not watched this yet, but is this the, like, slice of life, like, Animal Girls anime that turns into, like, serious political intrigue?
That's
halfway through
A Centaur's Life, and I always recommend A Centaur's Life, because I was thoroughly because the first episode is the girl demon kissing the centaur girl, and it's, like, heavily hinted that there, like, there is a proper healthy lesbian relationship in that anime. And then they talk about racism and how, like, it makes sense for our world to have racism in it because we're so different looking. But could you imagine if it was just like you had two limbs and two legs and just the only differences you had were skin color? You would never have racism. And I was just like, damn, this anime is going into some levels of political statements.
Wow.
It's on my list, but I haven't gotten there yet.
I would recommend My Centaur's Life. I will also always recommend Monster... Everyday Life with Monster Girls, because I think it's cute as shit. But it's definitely more of the fan servicey animes as it does.
Okay.
But you know what? There were fun tropes. I just really liked the mermaid because she had mermaid love styles, which was just like, I love this person so much to drown them because she's a mermaid. And I loved it. I was like, I'm all for this. I'm all for the hopeless romantic.
That's amazing.
I also liked the harpy because she was just adorable. But fuck the centaur. Not a fan of the centaur. But yes, Godzilla. Anyways,
yes. But do you... So Godzilla... Do you have a Godzilla ship? Yes or no?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
That's like, cool, but...
Not in Godzilla, I think. I mean, I will say I really liked... Have you guys seen Godzilla 2014 with Bryan Cranston?
I have not.
So, I actually really love the relationship between the two antagonistic monsters in that movie, because there's, like, a little male, and then there's a big female, and he brings her a nuclear submarine, and they have this really cute, tender moment of, like, nuzzling each other, and then she takes the nuclear submarine and shows it to her very, very pregnant belly that's being responded by her little larva. But
wow.
Like, the big joke with that movie is like that film could literally be summed up as two monsters are deeply in love and want to get it on in the modern day world, but Godzilla wakes up and puts a stop to it.
Wow.
Because that's literally why he wakes up, because their mating calls are going across the earth.
And Godzilla's like, shut the fuck up, you crazy kids.
Yeah, like, none of that in my house. I'm not for this, like,
no kissing in the picture.
Yeah, it's a really cute, tender moment that I really love, and it's very
That's
well shot.
Beautiful. So yeah. You've told me about some of the controversy in this fandom, and
I have
complained.
I need to vent to somebody about
Please, open the vents, release. I really want to know about what drama is happening in the Godzilla fandom. That seems so niche.
What drama isn't happening? Like, people are like, oh, Star Wars are dramatics because... You know, how dare Rey be a main antagonist, protagonist. And I'm like, I fucking love Rey. I actually loved The Last Jedi. Rise of the Skywalker was just a Star Wars movie made for Star Wars people, but whatever. That's a whole other thing. But the Godzilla fandom like is very niche. Like, growing up, I was the only true fan I knew of. And the only solace I got as a kid was going to my first Godzilla festival, which was wild to see, like, a hotel filled with people who also loved Godzilla, because I didn't think that was real. But also growing up, one of my favorite artists, a man named Sean McGinnis, who ran a webcomic called Neo Monster Island, I found out that he lived in the same state as me. And that actually like made me feel really comforted, because I was like, oh, cool, I'm not the only one. And then it even got better, because when I came back from living in Korea, Sean and I became friends, like actually good friends. And like, I've worked at his table and he's been on my show for a few times. So like, if I could go back in time and be like, by the time you are 28, you will meet most of your heroes and they will be like personal contacts of yours because they think you're cool, I wouldn't believe it.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
It is. But like, I didn't realize how, because it's so niche, it means that people are so much louder, because a lot of, you know, we're a bunch of fucking nerds, and like, you know, nerds get very protective of the things they like, especially because growing up, usually if you like something like this, you're kind of made fun of. Like, growing up as a kid, I was always made fun of for watching bad movies, and then I'm like, no, they're really fun. And then like, it's not like I made a whole podcast on the fact that I used to trick people into watching these monster movies to have them see at least what I enjoy about them. But it all, I actually blame it all on Pacific Rim, to be completely frank. Mostly because that was the first time I went on a Facebook Godzilla page, and there was like an argument between who would win in a fight, Godzilla or the Pacific Rim monster with an axe for a head, axe head. Or Trespasser.
You never read the comments. That's like the first rule of fandom. Never read the
comments. You always read them.
I wanted to add my two cents, because I was like, you know, because everybody's like, oh, Godzilla always wins and he's the best and blah, blah, blah. Godzilla has never really won a fight. Godzilla has never won a fight against Mothra ever, which is actually on purpose, because the original creators of this whole series wanted to make sure that Mothra always beat Godzilla to show that feminism would always beat a male ideology, which I think...
What?
Yeah, no, Mothra's like the perfect feminist symbol.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, she's a badass moth, and she's never lost, and if Godzilla does beat her, her two larvae, which are literally worms that shoot out silk, are beat him up.
Wow.
It's like, it's super cool stuff. I love it. But, you know, Godzilla's like, you know, he's died so many times. Like, none of his movies are usually in the same continuum. They're all like little short stories, more or less. So, like, sometimes he's the good guy, sometimes he's the bad guy, blah, blah, blah. But I went in and I was like, you know what? Maybe one of the new monsters could beat him, because it did take like four nukes to kill the first one. And Godzilla is a walking, talking nuclear bomb, because he's the representation of a country's feelings for the atomic bomb being the only country to have an atomic bomb dropped on citizens. If you watch the original 1954 film, it's dark as fuck. The original Americanized version of Godzilla from 54, which was adapted to King of the Monsters in 56, is so heavily edited because the US government did not want to talk about the fact that we bombed Japan three times, not two. And we, you know, Japan, you know, Godzilla's skin, if you want to be like, well, Godzilla can't always be about the bomb. Godzilla's skin is the way it is, that like avocado-y kind of texture, because the creators of Godzilla wanted to make sure that people understood, since he was born in the bomb, he would look like a bomb victim.
Fuck.
That's why his skin's the way it is. Like, Godzilla is actually an incredibly political monster film in general, especially some of the newer films like Shin Godzilla go really into politics. Like, Shin Godzilla is pretty much like a documentary about Japanese politics and how it doesn't work. Because of all the, you know, when you watch that film, people are like, why aren't they using their military now that Godzilla's in the city? And I'm like, they can't. after the Pacific conflict, Japan pretty much has all these like laws from the US and UN that if they consider even using military action in any capacity, they could be technically breaking international like peace treaties. And it could be viewed as an act of war. It's a very oddly political series.
I'm starting to see how there could be a lot of controversy generated from a series like this within the fandom. But it's like when content is coming to you that charged, the opinions that you have are going to be like inherently charged.
Well, you would honestly hope that's the reason for it, but no, it's because like remember the American versions get really dumbed down on their political messages mostly for example, the original 1954 film Godzilla was not released in America till 2009.
Really?
Because that's when we could comfortably release a product that literally starts off with a dramatization of an actual event of when we dropped the hydrogen bomb and a Japanese fishing ship got caught in the blast. There's a lot of layers, but there's a lot of layers, but the American versions are fun, campy monster movies. So some people want to keep like a lot of Godzilla fans nowadays are like, no politics in my Godzilla. And it's like, this is a fucking political dialogue, this whole damn movie series for most of it. Like Godzilla's tackled environmental issues. Godzilla's attacked corruption in politics. The first Mothra film is pretty much the director's response to the fear of Japan's economy, and like what it like the horrors of capitalism. It's there's a lot of stuff that goes into the series and some like, and to respect some people is like, sometimes you do want your smashy, smashy monster movie and not a lot of thinky, thinky bits because the world's crazy and it's nothing more soothing than seeing two rubber suited dudes duke it out. But like, like I said, after that Pacific Rim thing, I was like, this isn't really my thing. I don't really want to like, because the other thing is like, none of this is real. So... I shouldn't get worked up.
It's about, not
right. I shouldn't get worked up about this, but it's like Godzilla 98 is another perfect example of the fandom, with Matthew Broderick, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla. It's going to be on his fucking tombstone.
Matthew Broderick. So. That would be an awesome tombstone.
Do you guys enjoy the 98 film?
I have not watched that much Godzilla. I'm coming into this completely unaware.
Oh,
you're just
okay.
Educating me entirely. So
the cartoon
I watched
was awesome.
The cartoon
so
based
badass.
Off.
So good.
I watched the cartoon. I never actually saw the movie itself.
Fun. I actually think it's a pretty good monster movie. It actually got a C on our podcast. It's a pretty fun. I do enjoy it. I think it struggles in its third act, but it's a pretty fun film. Godzilla fans hate that movie.
Like, really?
So much so that back in the day, there used to be an people would refuse to call it Godzilla and instead call it Gino, which stand for Godzilla in name only.
What?
Like some fans will get so upset at you if you're like, that's not a canonical Godzilla film, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, most of you motherfuckers learned about Godzilla because of this film. Like, it was my first Godzilla in theaters experience. I really loved it as a kid. I loved the animated series it gave rise to. Like, it was a really fun movie.
If I Google Godzilla in name only, the first Google result literally is Godzilla 1998. That's incredible.
Yep. And like, I really don't like the hate it gets because it's like to this day, people get absolutely livid if you talk about it in a positive light. And I'm like, it's not a bad movie. Like, yeah, it might have missed the mark on Godzilla, but like, for those who want their smashy, smashy monster movie, why are you upset about getting your smashy, smashy monster movie? And I think it's because Godzilla's pregnant in that film and he lays eggs and it's just
what?
It's very like it gets very
yeah I can see how that would upset the dude bros.
It does upset the Dupros. I mean, nothing gets the Dupros more upset when people are like, I mean, because technically Godzilla doesn't have a gender. So you could say, like,
non-binary hero Godzilla.
There are non-binary monsters, like Gauss from the Gamera series. Like, you know, for me personally, I'm like, people are like, oh, this monster's a boy. And I'm like, why? Like, well, they call it he once. I'm like, they usually call it it. And show I'm me just gonna.
It's a boy.
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke about dude bros being uncomfortable with Mpreg, but carry on.
You're not wrong.
They just got to get into more ABO, then they'll understand.
Oh God.
It's like stuff like that, and now everybody uses the word kaiju, and I fucking hate that word.
That is so everywhere. It's quite the ubiquitous term.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Not only for cultural appropriation reasons, because, like, fun fact, we made King Kong. We made The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. America created the giant monster genre. I'd rather be that, because if you say kaiju, you think they're only Japanese films. But I'm like, America made, like, have you guys heard about Colossal, where Anne Hathaway is a giant monster? And it's a metaphor for her dealing with fucking, like, alcoholism, like, and
okay, so how I have not heard of this film. What?
It's a great movie. It also has some it takes a very dark turn really quickly, to the point that it might trigger some people, but it's a very well done monster movie. But then, like, some people are like, oh, is King Kong's not a kaiju because he's just a giant gorilla? And I'm like, what? No, like, your definition doesn't compute for me. Like, you know, I've got, like, one of my podcasts I guested on, which was on a good buddy of mine's called the Kaiju Groupie Podcast. The whole title is called Henry the Host Hates Kaiju, and apparently it's still it's one of his most listened to episodes, because it's just me literally going, like, I fucking hate this word. It's an awful word because it creates... It unknowingly creates gatekeeping in the community. Like, if you don't call Godzilla a kaiju, you get harassed about it. Or,
oh my God,
if you don't use the word, like, it's so, things can turn so quickly, and, you know, the fun doesn't stop there, because if anything, this year has just shown, what was one of the first things I talked to you about when I needed to vent about the bullshit that I was facing in the community?
I remember you sending me screenshots of it. Oh, wait, yeah, I have, it's like a, cancel culture come for King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yes.
Cancel culture?
That wonderful.
So for context, for those who don't have, for those who have eyeballs, but, you know, it's not helping you at this moment. This is an article that Henry sent me called Will Cancel Culture Come for King Kong versus Godzilla? And there is an image of some Japanese actors dressed up as, like, island natives in very dark makeup, which I think this article is, which this article is calling blackface, which it is. I mean, provided a dictionary definition of blackface from dictionary.com to reference specifically American blackface. And what is their thesis? Is their thesis that this is or is not American blackface? But
well, it's not. This is the thing, because I lived in Korea for 5 years. I was a teacher, an actor, all sorts of stuff. And, like, you know, I learned that Asian racism is a whole other animal compared to what we know. Because, like, for one, we all know it's bad. You shouldn't have racism at all. It's terrible.
Well, we all know that. Almost all of us know that.
Yeah. Almost all of us know that.
Maybe half of us.
But Asian racism is a whole different thing, because...
Yeah.
Which is where we're getting into this film. Because the Native Islanders are supposed to be on Faroe Island and the Banan Islands and Indonesia, blah, blah, blah. And why I get so mad about this article is, like, while I understand the intentions of the people who are upset about it, and why I think the person who wrote this article needs to shut the fuck up, because I can't believe that he did this, because this guy runs the Godzilla Festival in Chicago. Good. And earlier this year, Artie was in a huge mess because he was telling people that G-Fest was still going to happen because COVID's like the flu. It was bad. And then, like, when it eventually got canceled in June, conventions in July, there was a huge issue with the refunds. So, like, you would think a logical person would not want to stir the pot, but he did.
Well, of course he does.
Because at the time, everybody, like, cancel culture is being used very viciously in the Godzilla community right now. And what makes me mad about this article is, like, I feel like people are upset about it for the wrong reasons, because mm-hmm. there's even a part in that article where it says, like, the reason why the Japanese use Japanese actors is because there's a lack of black people in the 1960s Japan. And I'm like, there's not.
Okay, but
this is the fucking Philippines. Like, is a whole other level. And for, because China, Japan, and Korea, while they all hate each other, they do all agree that, like, Southeast Asia is, like, beneath them.
Yeah, which I've also like read a little bit on that. And yeah, I mean, it's like, it's ultimately it's the same reasons for dressing up as other skin tones as we had here, which is that you just can't be arsed to work with those people. It's still fucked.
It's still fucked, and it just makes me so mad because everybody is just like blah blah blah, and I'm like, this is a whole other like. Like, well, everybody, you gotta, like, stop.
Yeah, well, and this guy is, because... this guy closes his entire article by saying it would be so terrible for the legacy of Godzilla if these films got canceled. When, of course, canceling them is not the point. The only point is that these things have to be discussed openly and understood, because we've progressed from there, because it's for sure. 2020, and these are, like, ancient films at this point. Not ancient.
Well, and it's also, like, the fact that, like I think what a lot of people don't understand is that, like, with big franchises like this, cancel culture is ultimately meaningless, because you can't really cancel, like, yeah. a mega-million-dollar franchise.
Right.
Like, you can censor it, like, you can say this is wrong, and, like, we won't support this, but at the end of the day, like, you can't just
right. and
erase
I don't think that
the
goal here is to cancel Godzilla like, himself, themselves, whichever. But to say that, like, these particular films wouldn't be shown at festivals or something like that. Which, you know, maybe you could have a disclaimer that's like, let's acknowledge that this is an old film and we didn't always do shit right.
I don't mind that, but what I mind is the fact that people are getting upset about this film through an American contextual lens.
Yeah, my thoughts would be that, like, with our small communities, we always see, like, we're so insular, we're so small, we want to protect ourselves as a group because this is our home. This is our, like, mental, emotional home, and we don't want to see anything threaten that. We don't want to see it change. It's something that we go to for stability. So when it's like, I've got to learn somebody's new pronouns, that's scary, that's new, that's changing my community. When I have to think about how other cultures approach racism and experience racism, that's like a whole other level. I think that a lot of white fans just don't They just want it to slide off. They just want to have this insular bubble and not have to say, okay, I have to step outside my bubble and look at what this looks like from a completely other perspective, or, you know, listen to somebody else talk. I think it can become an absolute mess for sure, real fast.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
This is probably some of the most controversy we've covered, I think, on the podcast. It's just like, let's just dive into why we love this thing and all of its, like, terrible controversial words.
Well, I just hate the fact that, like, when people ask me, like, because my show is a bridge. Like, I have a lot of non-monster movie fans listen mm-hmm. to my show. So when they ask me, oh, is there, like, a community that I can join? I don't tell them to go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like having to red flag a thing that makes me happy. Because, like, you know, it's just awful. And it's like there's this whole thing with the old guard and the new guard, and like people are just very, you know, like I said, Godzilla fans usually were probably the only fans they knew before they went to Godzilla Festival or met online.
So it's just like one of those things where it's like you don't have, like with Star Wars fans, you get to see a variety of different people's opinions on Star Wars. But yeah. With Godzilla, you don't get that growing up development of seeing a variety of different outputs, because you usually just take in what you can.
Yeah, and you start off in a really insular place. So you start off alone with your own thoughts on the thing, and then you're more likely to go after and connect to people who had the same experience of it. And so if there is one, if there's like a common denominator of the experience, which, you know, might be male aggression, I guess, or whatever, yeah, what have you, then if you can connect on that and you don't, and you block out all of the other voices because you're too busy making those connections and you're too desperate for them. I mean, in a lot of cases, I think like when we come to something we love as nerds, we really want that connection. We just want to have that serotonin.
And like with female fans and queer fans, it's tough because like queer fans, you know, find a lot of identity in giant monsters. Because like, I hope this actually makes sense, because now I realize it might not hit as well, but it makes sense to me. So, but Arosha Honda, when he was asked why he was making movies like Godzilla and Mothra and Rodan and all that, he said, "I find monsters to be tragic beings. They're born too tall. They're born too heavy. They're born too strong. They are not evil by choice, and that is their tragedy." Because he was talking about how the fact that they are doing nothing wrong. They're just giants, and they're going through cities, and they happen to kill a lot of people. So people intentionally view them as bad, but they're not. Like, they're just alive. And, you know, I know a lot of folks find identity. Like, for me, I people always laugh because, like, while I love Godzilla, my favorite giant monster of all time is Gamera, who is a giant flying fire-breathing turtle that was built by Atlantis and is the protector of the universe and is the friend to all children. It's great. I love Gamera. Wonderful monster. No,
he's a robot or a monster?
I relate to Gamera a lot because Godzilla for me is very violent and like angry, and I'm not a violent, angry person. But Gamera like always tries to do his best, but sometimes he might blow up a building or something like that while doing the best intentions. And that's something that I have because, like, you know, as I've mentioned, like I, you know, while I sound all functioning, I do have high functioning autism. It took me a very long time to get to this level of being able to understand that, like, oh, maybe I'm freaking out because I actually literally don't understand and I need to calm myself down, blah, blah, blah. But it was one of those things, like, as a kid, I didn't understand why doing the good thing sometimes had bad results. But then I was watching the 90s Gamera series and I really related to Gamera because, like, he always did good. But there were people in the films who were like, Gamera's bad. Because while he may defeat the bad monster, he did kind of destroy half of Tokyo, leaving thousands of people homeless and frightened and angry. And I was like, sometimes when I try and do the best intentions, I might accidentally hurt somebody and not even realize. So I really took that kind of philosophy into life and just trying to be more aware of what is around me and making sure that I'm doing the right thing. And like, it sucks because, like, you know, because of me taking a stance on people, my show has actually gotten rating bombed. I was 5 stars for 2 years. Now I'm a 4.3 because Godzilla fans are petty as fuck.
Wow. Damn, Godzilla. Why are they like this? Well, we know why they're like this. We've already discussed. No. We know.
It's just, you know, I just think, you know, everybody doesn't get the opportunity to be a minority in another country. Like, I understand that, but like, you know,
you shouldn't have to have the experience in order to be able to like empathize or imagine, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to have exactly the same experience as another human being in order to be able to find a point of empathy and to believe them and listen to them, which I think is more important than experiencing it for yourself sometimes.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
It just makes me really sad.
Well, if we were going to get you more upbeat about your fandom, about your Godzilla, and give something back to you, if you could just order one piece of fan content from the universe that would heal all your Godzilla-sized wounds, what would it? What would that fan? What would that content be? What would you order from the universe of like, this is what I need. This is the Godzilla content we crave.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm actually going to shamelessly plug one of my really good friends. Her name is Destiny. She's also known as Kaiju Hime. She's one of my favorite artists. She's one of the few people that I'll allow to use the word kaiju as I take my madness because I have the final say on everything. But blah, blah, blah. But Destiny has been working on a book, a little anthology called Girls Who Love Monsters. And it's a monstrous anthology for all ages featuring illustrations, comics, prose, and photography showcasing monsters and those who love them. And all the creators who are contributing to this project are women or non-binary. Like no male influence in it at all. It's to represent, you know, I asked her if she could send me making sure that I'm doing this, but it's like anyone that identifies as a woman or as non-binary, the goal is to give a sect of minorities in the fandom a platform to express themselves and provide visibility. And that's something that I always try and do in my own show as well. It's just to showcase like this genre is so much bigger than what we think it is. Monster movies are from everything from Godzilla films to Jurassic Park to like, I was so happy. One of my good friends is a Patreon supporter and we're doing the film Monster Trucks, which I can't wait to do.
Oh my God.
Because yeah. It's about a little oil monster thing that lives in a truck and they go on little adventures and I'm so excited for it. But that's something that I'm really looking forward to. The Kickstarter actually starts tomorrow after this, like, at the time of the recording, it's tomorrow, October 1st. And it's a Kickstarter, so you could go support it. Stevie, I'll send you a link if you want to put it in the show notes.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, you know, and like for me personally, like my audio drama Apex, I think is going to be something the fandom really needs because I think the fandom needs something new.
Mm-hmm.
Something new and fresh. And, you know, my audio drama that I've been working on is a giant monster series. And like, and Stevie, have you read the script yet?
I have not had the chance, but I am very, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, because like the main character is going to be is a person named Rick. And it's going to be later revealed that they are actually a trans man. And I'm making sure that I'm having proper, I'm not going to be a white guy and just be like, this is how they are. You know, I'm making sure I am contacting people like, you know, the first episode set in Singapore. So I had to like double check with my friend. I was like, what, how does Singapore handle trans people? Found out Singapore is supportive of the LGBTQ community, but not so much the T part of that community, oddly enough. Very strange. So trying to make sure that I do like it accurately. And I just think people just need to be kind, honestly. That's all I want for the fandom to be. I just want people to be like, you know, this isn't real. Like the concepts are real, but if you're using God's, like if you're saying you don't want Godzilla to support the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't know what to tell you because Godzilla is a political statement.
Yep.
Like, you know, I don't understand why people are getting so upset. And like, I even had a chat with a Trump for Godzilla.
Oh my God. Which was
this Twitter handle. And like, everybody gave him shit. But like, I reached out to him because I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm proving a point that Godzilla fans just hate Trump and won't talk or interact with people who aren't Democrats. And I'm like,
oh my God, dude. It's definitely fair. I feel like it's kind of presumptuous.
No one talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a lot of times you don't have time to talk. Like, that's not why you're in fandom. You don't think you're in fandom to talk politics and you don't have the energy for it. And like, it's really up to the people that have energy to go out and try to make those connections when we can.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, I just try and understand where people are coming from. But like I now proudly say, because I learned it off Looking Human. Don't be trash. Don't be transphobic. Don't be racist. Don't be ableist. Don't be sexist. And don't be homophobic. It's great.
Yeah.
And don't be a Nazi. Like,
that's really good advice. I try
and keep it very simple.
I think that is a great, that is a beautiful closing note. I could not have said it better myself.
No, it's, you know, it's just, it's crazy stuff. So it's just always like, you know, maybe one last funny joke is a lot of people ask me, there is a South Korean monster movie called Yanggari. And everybody asks me, I'm like, oh, when you went to Korea, did they love Yanggari? And I'm like, guys, you know, they hate that movie. The only version of that movie that exists now is the American dub of that film, because Korea hated it because Japan helped them make it. And they felt like Japan made Yanggari look dumb on purpose. So they didn't get treated seriously. So if you go up to a Korean person today and ask for Yanggari, they're going to take you to the frozen food section for dinosaur chicken nuggets, because that's what dinosaur chicken nuggets are called in Korea, are called Yanggari.
Wow.
So I always, you know, I just think it's very fascinating stuff. But Reyna, how are you doing? How do you feel about the whole experience of this weird niche fandom being as fucked up as it is?
I mean, I'm not really surprised. As somebody who has been in fandom for most of their life, I think like that's kind of the reason that I mostly... Stevie's the one that likes to go and be with the people and talk about the discourse. And I'm the person that just sits in my fanfic archives and will like talk when approached. But I feel like, I mean, it like all fan, like it's not just fandoms. Like I say this constantly, that all scenes are trash in some way. Like there's always going to be debate. There's always going to be drama. And like, I think in some ways, like, I mean, like with, especially with like Japanese culture, like it, like a thing, instance that I was thinking about recently, well, an instance that I think about a lot is like the Ghost in the Shell live action movie, where like all of these Asian Americans were like, and like, I mean, obviously they had a point of being like, how can you have a white person pretend to be Asian and like, or in this case, because like they were, because Motoko Kusanagi is like mostly an android besides her brain. They're like, you're having a Japanese person choose to put on a white body. And the Japanese like public were like, well, we don't understand why you're so upset, because they're all Japanese. To them, like, they're like, what's the problem with like having a white person portray us, because they don't have an issue with representation where they are. And so it's kind of, it like for them, they were like, oh, but Scarlett Johansson's famous and it's cool to have a famous movie star like represent us. And Asian Americans were like, no.
Like, I mean,
this is this is our culture. And like, so I don't like, and I think my point is kind of like things hit differently based on like your experience and like the intersection of where you are. Like, I think I was definitely one of those weebs that was like, oh, I want to move to Japan and live in Akihabara. And like, yeah, I had an experience. I had like, no, it was like, it was a fun time going there, but like, I was like 14, 15 when I went to Japan, and like my white Japanese like teacher was like, oh, well, I want you to see the real Japan, which was mostly shrines and rice paddies, which was very, very pretty. But it's like those people have never seen a white person before. So the way that they react to you versus the way that you're seen in Tokyo, and when you're a 14-year-old, and like you want, like you're already embarrassed by your existence in general as a teenager. So to be stared at by that many people was like a very interesting experience for me, and kind of like made me not want to move to an entirely different country, like, well, and that, yes, and also like the fact that I'm queer and I'm tattooed, I mean, if you and have, also a stripper.
I mean, if you
and,
ever
like,
go to Seoul,
we don't need to get into
I know
that.
The perfect burlesque.
We don't need to get into
you
that.
You will be welcome with open arms. Like, White Lies Burlesque is one of the best. They actually do burlesque shows for the Seoul Comic Con. Well, they did, but they do. It's awesome. They're super cool. Before the plague.
Yes, before the plague, but. But yeah, like, I mean, it, like, there's a lot, like, I still want to, like, go back to Japan and visit, but I don't know if, like, that's a place I could live.
Yeah.
As single queer femme.
You know, people ask me all the time if I want to go back
with
to
my
Korea,
situation.
And I'm like, I'll visit, but, like, fuck, no, I don't want to live there again. I don't want to go through this, all those hoops again. Like, yeah, it's very comfortable, but I don't like the fact that, like, you know, if I go to a bar and I might have an interesting experience or I might not have an interesting experience. Mm-hmm. And then I'm around a bunch of foreigners who don't really interact with other Koreans because, like, you know, you're kind of treated as an outsider or a gimmick. But yeah. Like, you guys are awesome. And I really do love this show and I'm really happy to be on it.
So do you have anything to plug? Go ahead and plug it.
So it came from a monster movie. You can find us on all podcasting platforms. Follow us on social media, ICFAM Podcast, ICFAMM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Also, defend your ship, wonderful people.
If you
ever want to expand your horizons out of Redbubble, I am a curator for TeePublic. So I can give you a link that gets you into to set up a shop, easy breezy, if you want to expand what your products are on, and I can actually curate your stuff onto my store. So that way, you get more of a reach. So
that'd be awesome.
That's an option, but yeah, keep on doing what you're doing and then expect Apex because it's coming out sooner than later.
Woo,
so
Apex.
I think that's everything.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Well, this has been delightful and very informative, and I feel like I understand much more about Godzilla than I ever did ever in my life. This is
watch
like
the original; it's great.
I will watch the original. I believe you that it's great. Thank you for this.
No worries. Thank you guys, and you remember, don't be trash.
Yes, don't be trash. Don't be trash.